53, Siman Reish Nun Hey, Beis. So yesterday, again, we were talking last couple weeks about cooking. And one of the issues on cooking is we're scared that maybe someone will play with the fire, ignite the fire, because the food is not cooking well enough. So yesterday in Reish Nun Hey, we saw it not only applies by cooking per se for food, but also for kindling. Again, if you have firewood, so we're scared, you know, again, think. Tell the girls in school. Think outside your reality, right? We live in Los Angeles, Pico Rivers, right? You know, most time in history, people didn't live this way, right? And so it was very cold in Poland and in a lot of other places, and they needed firewood so to keep themselves warm. So you had to make sure that the wood caught. The fire caught to the wood before Shabbos began. And we discussed how much. Is it one log? Is there a bunch of logs? Is it a bonfire? What is it? So we talked about that. And the issue is, again, can I have a fireplace, which I've never used. But some of you are more expert at this than I am. But obviously, the fire might not catch to the kindling. And then, again, you know, come home from shul, and it's cold, and kids are complaining. So you can imagine you'll have a struggle of trying to get the firewood to work a little better. So base is, I'm sure, something you've all been wondering. Yei shomim. Some say, the Machaber says, shemechamim afilu lo achaz b'hem ha'or, that if you have a charcoal or something like that, even if the fire did not catch el koshu, just a little bit, shari, that would be okay. You can light right before Shabbos. Right before Shabbos. I didn't catch the circumference, or the flame is not coming up by its own, or like all those things we talked about there. It's okay. Why? Because they catch. The substance catches. So we're not worried. Again, what's the whole problem? The problem is if you just have regular firewood. So I don't know, is regular firewood different than what wood? I don't know.
It's wood.
It's wood.
Well,
right?
It could be
different. Yeah, it could be, right. So if you have something like, again, as we were talking about, like a Duraflame, right? I don't know. Or again, this is not a good example, but we use this for cooking. We don't use it for heat. But let's say like a match light, right? Even I know. You put on one match and boom, right? You know. So things like we have today, that's what the, so they catch. I'm not worried about it not catching. So then you don't have to worry about all those things we talked about yesterday. You don't have to worry. Why? What's the problem? The problem is that we're scared that you're going to have to fool around with it to make a catch, but these catch, so it's no problem. Okay, I want to skip Gimel, and let's go to the next page 54, Reish Nun Vav. Ay, Reish Nun Vav. So the Machaber says, Kashayu Yisrael be Yeshuvan, when the Jews were in their settlements, in other words, when they were in Eretz Yisrael or other places, Hayu Tokim Be'erev Shabbos. They used to blow shofar in Erev Shabbos. Sheish Tkios. And the Gemara says they used to blow six blasts. So to separate, to warn the people to stop doing malacha. Again, take yourself out of reality, right? Got clocks, we know exactly when sunset is, all nice and good. Right, didn't have that throughout history. So again, we see throughout halacha, you know, so it's cloudy. In Poland, 90% of the time it's cloudy, right? So when sunset? How do you know? So they had someone in charge, and they would blow. Again, they would blow a series of blasts. Again, the Gemara says, well, the first one was for the people way out in the fields. So people way out in the fields know it's time to stop, and I got to come in. You know, then it was a little later, people in the stores. And then there was a series of them. And then obviously the last one was, okay, the time to light. You're up against it, right? That was it. That's what they used to do. So again, the Machaber said when the Jews were in their cities and they were able to do that. So a lot of times you're not allowed to do that. So the Rama says, right, Poland, in the big cities, Shekoshu Samach Lo Shabbos, when it got close to Shabbos, Kachatzi Shaosha, an hour or a half an hour before, Shemachris Shatz, there was an appointee, a Shaliach Sibor, someone appointed by the community, who would call out, L'hachanas from the Shabbos. So tell people, you know, time to get ready, right? Actually, a Jewish town crier. Everyone cry. You call out. The who, but that's what crying is, right? Okay. The who b'makom atzkios b'yameyam. The Ramah says instead of, you know, we got the guy with the voice instead of the tzkios. V'chein ro'i l'inahog b'chol makom. And that's what you should do. And the Mishnah talks about that if they didn't have the town crier, they used to have people go around to, and the Chofetz Chaim lauds these people. They would go around and tell people, it's getting close to Shabbos, and, you know, like, all of us have 5 million things to do on our Shabbos, right? There's never enough time. So imagine there were people go around and tell people, it's almost Shabbos, it's almost Shabbos, close. The store, they did it, right? It was a job. They had that in Yerushalayim pre-Siren days, if you can imagine that. So, just have to indulge me for a minute. So, it was my second year, I was leaving yeshiva in Yerushalayim, when I was in Yerushalayim. So, there was a very big tzaddik, a very big Talmud Chacham, Lazar Plachinsky. He was a very big gadol that nobody, Rav Aryeh Levine's son-in-law, a very big Talmud Chacham. One of the gedolei Yisrael, one of these people nobody knew about. So through a series of convoluted things, I got to eat my Friday night at by his house for my last house there. It's a whole long story. But there was a miscommunication, and he used to daven at the Kosel Friday afternoon. There, also unbeknownst to me, I missed this opportunity too. A group of Rosh Shivas used to daven together early, like 1:30 at the Kosel. Nobody knew about this minyan. So somebody forgot to tell me daven mincha at the Kosel early. So anyways, so I was waiting. I got to Rav Lazar Plachinsky's house. He lives in Rav Aryeh Levine's, lived in Rav Aryeh Levine's house, apartment, it's not house. And so I was waiting. So again, there was a little problem. So I didn't get to daven with Rav Lazar Plachinsky, but he lives in the old area of Yerushalayim called Mishkanos. Mishkanos is one of the first neighborhoods, or I think the first neighborhood, the second neighborhood, when they went out past outside the walls. It's a very, very old neighborhood. And so there's a lot of, it's a very, very interesting little quaint little close-knit neighborhood. There's a bunch of minyan. There's a Sfarish minyan. There's an Ashkenazi minyan. There's a Hasidish minyan. And Rav Lazar Plachinsky, who was recognized by everybody, is the, he would go to each minyan, and they bang, even if they were in the middle of the dining, they'd stop, they'd all stand up because it was a big tomahawk, and he'd blow shofar. So, right? So in Yerushalayim, right, we got the sirens. In Borough Park, they got a siren, right, to tell you it's time to like. But in this part of Yerushalayim, it's the old custom. Old custom. And again, it's not a series, but he'd go in and I actually saw, imagine that you have a gadol b'Yisrael coming into your minyan and blowing shofar. But that's what they did. That's what they did. So again, it wasn't very early and then closer, they just do one set and that was it. But still, it's interesting that old custom in certain places is still there in Yerushalayim, even though they got the siren and they still blow shofar. It's a very vivid memory. Anyways, we'll get back to cooking Mirza Shambolina tomorrow night. A little detour.